The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation. Form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Oh Lord, your steadfast love endures forever.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
Oh Lord, your steadfast love endures
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Oh Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Oh Lord, your steadfast love endures forever.
The gospel reading for today comes from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Please rise. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Judah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The second reading for today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. A reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one in the body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
So in case you hadn't noticed, today's theme is about rocks. I question sometimes the wisdom of giving you all rocks on my last Sunday, but it is what it is. When I was a kid, we lived on a farm, and every year my cousins and I would all get recruited to ride out into the field and spend all day picking up rocks. As a kid, I always wondered, why do we do this every year? Did we not get all the rocks last year? Is someone sneaking into the field and putting new rocks in there? Do they grow up from little rock seeds, like some kind of weed that comes back every year? But of course, rocks aren't grown. They are made. And geologists classify rocks into three main types by how that happens. Igneous rocks, like granite, form when rocks are melted deep within the earth and then cool down and solidify. Sedimentary rocks, like limestone, which you see on the outside of this church, form when sediment gets squeezed under the intense weight of the earth's crust. And metamorphic rocks, like the marble you may have picked up on your way in. Metamorphic rocks form when other types of rock is subjected to heat and pressure. Metamorph is a Greek word that means to change form. The rock is metamorphed, transformed. The heat and pressure literally change it, physically or chemically, into another kind of rock. This marble used to be limestone, but it's been transformed into this sparkling, gleaming stone. All those rocks I picked out of the field as a kid have a past. The piece of marble you hold in your hand right now has a past, a story that goes back tens of thousands of years or more. It has a history, a connection, a relationship to the earth from which it came. The rocks in our own backyard here in Forest City are descendants of rocks forged deep in the earth and then carved by glaciers thousands of years ago. It is this rich past that Isaiah draws on in our first lesson. Israel is in exile in Babylon. They have no king to turn to for leadership. The temple has been destroyed. They have been forcibly removed from their homeland. How will they endure this crisis? How will they move forward? And so Isaiah writes them words of hope. They are to look forward by looking back. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, Isaiah says, and to the quarry from which you were dug, to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. Though Israel feels weak, God is their strength. Though Israel is no longer standing on its own soil, God himself is their rock and foundation. Though Israel has been ground into dust by the Babylonians, they have been quarried from the same rock as their ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, their ancestors who stayed the course and persevered. In the gospel, Jesus gives us another rock to look back on. After Peter confesses Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus tells Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter, Petros. And on this rock, Petra, I will build my church." Church, literally meaning called out. Peter was but one, but Christ blessed him and made him many. Jesus not only promises to build a church, but to build a church that the gates of Hades will not prevail against. And in this day and age, it's hard to trust that the gates of Hades will not prevail. It's hard to look at the world around us and not see a church that has been chipped away to a shadow of its former self. And so today's readings call us to look forward by looking back. And in doing so, we see that this is par for the course for God's people. The exiles in Babylon were but a remnant of the great nation of Israel. The disciples were but a remnant of their own people. And the early church faced threats and murder at the hands of their own government. If all these could persevere, if God could bless these few and make them many, if they could withstand the gates of Hades in their own day and time, then so can we. We look forward by looking back. And there is one more rock to look back on. For Paul, the one out of whom the many are called, is Christ himself. Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." The metaphor has shifted from geology to biology, but the message is the same. Remember from where you came. You are spiritual descendants of Abraham, to whom God said, "Go to the place that I will show you." You are spiritual descendants of Peter, who confessed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And you are spiritual descendants of Christ, the rock of ages cleft for you. When the world chips away at you, look to Christ, the rock from which you were hewn, and look around to your fellow believers, who are rocks just like you. As rocks hewn from the rock of ages, we are living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, "Come to him, a living stone, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." You see, a single stone does not a house make. But together, many stones can make a fortress. And so we offer ourselves as living stones for Christ's building project. When we gather as Christians, Christ builds us into his church. But what kind of stones are we? Not every kind of rock is useful for building a fortress. And so Paul offers us some guidance. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul writes. Or more literally, do not take on the shape of this age. But be transformed, literally metamorphed, by the renewing of your minds. Living stones. Metamorphosis. As limestone gets transformed into metamorphic rock, into marble, it takes on a unique quality. Sculptors use marble for statues because only marble is a little bit translucent. If you look at that piece of marble, you'll see you can almost see to the inside of the stone. Light penetrates just a little bit into the surface. It's translucent, just like human skin, which gives the statue that the sculptor creates depth and realism. Sculptors use marble because it's the only stone that comes closest to being alive. Living stone. You are called to be living, metamorphic rock. You are baptized into and are members of Christ's body. You are therefore a member of the new age, the kingdom. You are not to think and behave according to the values of this old age, this world, but are called to behave according to the values of the kingdom to which you now belong. How can you live in a new age if you can't stop living in the old one? We cannot be Christ's bride, the church, if we are still married to this age, to this world, to its wisdom and its rulers. This age will wear out like a garment, and its rulers will pass away like gnats. And so the church that marries the spirit of this age will find herself a widow in the next. What kind of church will you be? We live in anxious and uncertain times. We long for ways of life that are familiar and comfortable. Church consultant Peter Steinke tells the story of a woman who once told him, "If 1950 ever came back, my congregation would be ready." But there is no time machine we can climb into and go back to some golden age, when the mills and the mines and the factories were plentiful, when we could avoid difficult and uncomfortable conversations about race, poverty, immigration, and sexuality, when we could just throw our trash out and not worry about the consequences, when we could just live a quiet life in our quiet town where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. That world doesn't exist. As Christ's church, we must minister to the world as it is, not the world as we would like it to be. We must be a church transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what repentance is. You've all heard the word paranoia. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. If you've been paying attention, you know the meta part means change. The noia part means mind. To repent is to change your mind. Don't be conformed to yesterday's ways of thinking and living. Think and live differently. What kind of church will you be? Lutherans, at their best, are not really a church, but a movement. If we are simply one more denomination or congregation in competition with others for market share, then we have entirely missed the point of being church. Lutherans exist for the sake of always and ever reforming the whole body of Christ, including our own Lutheran selves, through the gospel. It's why the Protestant Reformation had a slogan, Semper Reformanda, always reforming. Rock, as sturdy and stable as it may seem, is always a work in progress. Either it is being forged deep within the earth, or it is being slowly eroded by the ravages of wind, water, and time. It is always on a journey, never stopping. And so it is with the church. Either we are being transformed, renewed, built, or we are being conformed or eroded. But there is always movement. What kind of church will you be? Be a church that looks forward by looking back to the rock from which you were hewn. Be a church made of living, metamorphic rock, transformed by the one whose salvation will be forever, whose deliverance will never be ended. Be a church always and ever reforming, always being made new. And be a mighty fortress, a refuge, not for your own sake, but for the sake of
the Lord. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Generous, compassionate God, we gather before you to pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Each petition ends with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are a people that you have called unto you. We have vocations and avocations that should further Christ's kingdom on earth. Whether we are 10 years old or 90 years old, help us to find where our talents, skills, and deepest gladness meets the deepest needs of society. We are so thankful for Travis Beck, for the years that his vocation and our church intersected. Bless his new call as he is following your plan, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, empower us to teach and serve and learn with passion and integrity, and to study diligently and attentively for the fulfillment of the many callings and to glorify your name and purpose. Help us to be transformed into marble. Help us to be living rock, always being made new. Lord, in your mercy, mold us and make us into a community of respect, dignity, and value, where the needs and gifts of one another are honored, and where the spirit of life together is uplifted. Lord, in your mercy, you care for us more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. You are aware of our every need. Let us be good seed planted in good soil by our heavenly sower. You know our prayers of supplication before we speak them. You know our requests to you before we think them. Lord, in your mercy, our prayers of intercession are for the physical, emotional, social, and financial needs for our church, our members, and our visitors today, and particularly those that have been affected by the hurricane in Texas. And we lift up Christus Victor Lutheran Church and Pastor Tammy Sharp down in Texas. And we also lift up particularly the first names of the members who are listed in our bulletin as we read them together. Michaela, Mavis, Ione, Mavis Ann, Jim, Marge, Luann, the missionary Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Mighty Minas. Lord, in your mercy, our hearts are filled with gratitude. We are so deeply thankful for our families, spouses, children, and grandchildren, our dear friends, our health, our homes, our jobs, the privilege to live in this beautiful world, and the hope of eternal life with you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, your salvation lasts forever. Console us here on earth until we join all who praise you without end. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands we place all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in the mercy of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.